What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's August 26, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, August 25th at about 1:15 p.m. on the West Coast. Hope you're surviving this historic heat dome we're all dealing with. It's real hot right now, Mark, in America, and some people are handling it better than others. But also, it is a sad day here in the Skewniverse. I just found out a couple hours ago that the matron saint of my homeland of Tennessee, Dolly Parton, has passed away at the age of 80. So I have to start with that. Rest in peace to one of the sweetest to ever do it.
What a life, man. I think it's safe to say that she won. Fuck Jolene. Where do you, like, you can't, like, you know, she, a rich person who gave back to their community. Oh, my God. It's amazing how much goodwill you can have if you just do that, and how many of our rich people just don't.
And also just being, like, empathetic and self-deprecating and not taking yourself too seriously and all the things that she pioneered. Matt has pointed out to me, we almost always record this on Mondays. We didn't this week. We waited. It's Tuesday, August 25th. We're recording it on Tuesday, August 25th. Sorry for that. There's the clarification. You guys thought for a second that I knew that Dolly died 24 hours before anybody else did, but no. It is Tuesday.
As we Only the killer course. Would know that, Trey. Yeah.
Anyway.
So before we get to the show, I wanted to have a little fun talking about the little COINTELPRO tour operation that the feds are running. And you got to love federal law enforcement, because it's like, we have been completely unleashed. Let's recreate our most embarrassing chapter, like, immediately, right?
Right.
And, like, they don't even, like, they're not even, like, getting, like, watch Martin Luther King have sex in hotel rooms this time around. They're just, like, following people around doing bake sales. And it's being run this time by, not by the FBI, but by Homeland Security Investigations, which is, or HSI, which is the country's second largest criminal investigative agency behind the FBI.
Dude, but that's kind of like whenever I find out about a new kind of bird or animal or something, where I'm like, wait a minute, you've been here this whole time? I didn't know, like, how did I not know about you until right now? I'm 40 years old and I just found out about this. When I find out about hear about government agencies I wasn't familiar with that are apparently, you know, massive anyway, in spite of that,
they're the half of, like, so ICE is divided into two groups, right? You got HSI, kind of, I think, or maybe I'm mixing up. Like, ERO is the people that tackle people in the street. They're the meatheads, right? And that's how HSI thinks of them. Like, basically, HSI looks down at ERO. Basically, you go to apply to the federal law enforcement agencies. If you can spell your own name without help, then you're HSI.
Okay.
If you can't, you're fucking ERO, right?
I would insist on using the HSI acronym too if I was part of that agency right now. You don't want no part of that ICE acronym, I feel like.
Yeah. The fact that they also have broader authorities in the FBI because they're supposed to be fighting terrorism. Basically, what they do is, like, intercept bootleg, like, gene shipments at ports. But, like, they also, like, if they find a shipping container full of women, they take credit for that, right? They, like, it's also their job. But so remember, like, we talked about a couple months ago about the Antifa conspiracy case. Like, I'm gonna air quotes around Antifa in Minneapolis. You were talking about, they arrested 15 people because they were all in the same, like, group text chain with some random loser who threatened to overthrow the federal government on Facebook.
Right.
One of their lawyers filed, like, some discovery motions and got a hold of a bunch of primary source documents from HSI conducting their investigation in Minneapolis. And what they found was, like, basically 4 days after Alex Priddy was killed, after they shot him in the back of the head while he was kneeling and after he'd been disarmed, they launched a big investigation, I guess, into who had tricked them into doing that. This is called, like, if you think this is, that I'm going to exaggerate how dumb this is, this is called operate, like, if you think they're not looking for this secret group of Jews who's controlling all this, the operation is called Operation Puppet Master. All right? Mm-hmm. That's the official name. So what was found in these documents is, like, that they had to hand over was, like, reports about an undercover agent spying on a church gym when her concealed surveillance wire fell out of her shirt, which she only realized later she had to go back to the church basement to get it. So I think her cover is probably blown. They got a bunch of financial records for the Service Employees International Union, which is a nurses union. And what they found was a paper trail that showed them buying office supplies, paying retiree dues, and member dental benefits. Prosecutors showed a grand jury an Alex Jones-style HSI briefing called The Conspiracy that framed a bicycle repair shop as a keynote in a criminal syndicate. And I want to read this to you, Trey. Here's an actual report from an undercover agent that you wonder how this stuff actually plays out. This undercover agent attended a meeting for Sunrise Movement, which is an environmental nonprofit. During the action meeting, it was made clear that the Sunrise Movement organization focused on peaceful protests. The agent put peaceful in quotes. I don't know why, because if you're telling people to do peaceful protests and they're saying that to you while you're in the secret meeting, it seems pretty clear. So, undercover agent 9833 spoke to Redacted privately and informed him that he works construction and could build items that might assist other groups with more, quote, direct action protests. Undercover agent told Redacted that going to jail did not bother him. And the person acknowledged their comments and then begrudgingly took their phone number. They were offering to build pipe bombs, and the fucking person blew them off, and they're acting like that's incriminating evidence. Right. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The feds have one move. It's try to do terrorism and get people to do terrorism with them.
And then, like, arrest them for doing the terrorism or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is like a pretty great gig, because what you do is, like, they keep coming back and saying that they found no evidence of a fucking deeper conspiracy here, but that's only proof of how deep the conspiracy goes.
Yeah, right. That's how good we are. That's how good Antifa is, how adept at subterfuge and black ops we really are. They can't get to the bottom of it, no matter how hard they try.
Not even with unlimited resources.
They'll root out these Soros-associated millionaires at the top of this criminal empire and bring us to patriotic justice. Yeah, I know. I was going to say earlier, it's like, how many times do they have to, you'd think, learn this same lesson, but they never learn it to begin with. You know, looking for a thing, it's so clearly not there. But no, people just don't want to admit they're wrong, you know, and so...
They arrested. They made a big deal about it. I didn't look too deeply into it, but they caught a lady for planning an ISIS attack. And you look at the fucking charging documents, and the feds did 98% of it. They, like, planned it, got the stuff, the fake explosives. Then she got in the car with them, and they announced that they fucking stopped ISIS. So while we're on the subject of Minnesota stuff, I wanted to talk about this situation. It's pretty funny where what's happened is Greg Abbott has, like, bumblefucked his way backwards into holding an ICE agent as a political prisoner. So we're talking about an agent by the name of Christian Castro. What Castro did, and we talked about this case a little bit back when it happened back in January, is he wrote down the wrong license plate number and followed the wrong guy, tried to tackle him in his yard. And then the person got into a house, and he shot them through the door of the house. Then claimed they were assaulting him with a snow shovel, but the whole thing was caught on video. So there was no snow shovel, there was no threat, and he shot them through a closed door. Now, you can get away with a lot as an American cop, but shooting an unarmed person through a closed door is walking right up to the line of the shit you can get away with, right?
No, you got to be like a... South African famous Paralympian to get away with that, right? And it's got to be a woman. It's got to be a woman runner? You shoot. Yeah. That's important, too. That makes it easier to get away with. I don't know if people remember that.
Oscar Pistorius,
Oscar
right?
Oscar Pistorius. Yeah. That's why she shot his girlfriend through a door, and she was unarmed.
And claimed self-defense, right?
Anyway.
So what happened? So Minnesota indicted Castro for assault and filed an extradition request because Castro got transferred to Texas to get him out of Minneapolis because the feds don't want their own guy arrested because it's fucking embarrassing. So they've been suing Texas, and Texas Rangers did arrest Castro, right? So they put him in a jail. But Abbott's refusing to hand him over to Minnesota. So he's been sitting in jail since May 29th because Abbott won't hand him over to Minnesota where he would have gotten bond.
Right.
So it's like, if you're Christian Castro, like, what is, like...
Yeah, what do you prefer? Because, well, what is the idea from Abbott that they'll forget about it? Do you know what I mean? That, like...
I guess he just wants to look tough or something.
Distracted, right? Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, the other scenario is, like, basically, like the sheriff, like, so Texas has this law that, like, if you're arrested for an out-of-state warrant, they can only hold you for 90 days. The 90 days is almost up, like, in, like, a day or two.
So there is a clock he's trying to let run out then. In 90 days, he'll be let out of this Texas jail, and they still aren't going to send him to Minnesota, and so then he can just be a criminal in Texas or something?
Well, he's got to basically overthrow the Constitution, because there's a full faith and credit clause. You're supposed to hand people over to other states. It's not up to Texas to grab Greg Abbott what's illegal or illegal in fucking Minneapolis, right?
Right.
So, yeah. like he's got, like,
yeah, I mean, so extradition is kind of a weird word for between states, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're getting extradited from America to America, you know?
Abbott's whole argument for why he doesn't have to hand him over is, like, I guess the law says that you're supposed to hand over someone if they're a fugitive from justice, but he's saying, oh, he didn't flee Minnesota, he was transferred. That's it. That's the whole argument. So, like, but he is escaping justice because he's not showing up to his fucking bond here. And so, like his arraignment. So, like, I'm not sure, like, what the... Anyway, if you're... Basically, the reality Christian Castro is going to be in is he's going to be a federal agent who, for the rest of his life, cannot leave the state of Texas, where he's been given political asylum by the governor of Texas for shooting an innocent guy who was the wrong guy he was chasing through a closed door because he was mad that he didn't have a warrant to break into the guy's house.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that America? All right, let's go ahead and get into it. Matt, you got that graphic ready? Because that's time for the Daily Dumbass. This week's DD is Doug Ford's sweet, sweet ass for so far playing hard to get.
Just wondering, you sound a little more subdued than you did this morning on the radio when you said Donald Trump could kiss your ass. Did the Prime Minister tell you to ask you to tone it down a bit?
No, he didn't. Yeah. I'm not going to comment, but he wasn't against that. And I have a lot of real estate on my ass, so he has a lot of room to kiss my ass.
All right. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, the Fords. I always forget there's still a Ford out there doing it. He's much more subdued than his late brother, right?
Well, he's
also a maniac.
Well, he's not as much on crack, I don't think.
That's part of it. Not quite as much on crack, yeah.
So, Doug Ford, he's the premier of Ontario, which is, like, you know, governor, for lack of a better... Yeah, that's the best way to explain it, I think. I mean, that's my understanding. Forgive me if I'm wrong, Canadians. So, those people behind him are auto workers, and the Canadian auto industry, along with the American auto industry, is going to be fucked because of this stupid trade war that Trump has escalated, and now we've gotten to the point where Canada's so fed up, they're going to hit us with retaliatory tariffs, and they're trying to time it to fuck with our election, so that should be fine. I want to quote here from Doug Ford about Donald Trump. He's the kind of guy who would steal your shoes, which is true, but very specific in a way that doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
Anyway, talking more shit. I don't respond to a dictator like Trump, a bully like President Trump. I'm not going to take any advice off a guy that's a king of bankruptcies. Your own people don't even like you, and they're going to speak loud and clear in the midterms. If I was allowed to, I'd be down there door knocking.
Hell yeah.
And Trump responded, lots of bluster from Doug Ford, who is the premier of the Canadian province of Ontario, but who is better known as the less charismatic, intelligent, and overall impressive brother of the late, great Rob Ford. So yeah, Trump's comeback is, you're not as cool as your crackhead brother.
I mean, you know, to be fair, I'm sure Doug Ford knows that about himself. Yeah, it's weird, because I did think that, I know that it's a whole different country and a whole different, you know, paradigm politically or whatever, but Doug Ford, is he like a Canadian version of a conservative?
Yes.
Or right, but Donald Trump, because, you know, he's openly antagonizing them, and he's just not a fucking cultish lunatic.
If Doug Ford was the governor of Alabama instead of the premier of Ontario, they'd be best friends.
Right.
But because they're on opposite sides of a stupid petty fight, which is the kind of petty fight that guys like this pick, we're just stuck in the middle of it.
Right.
The demands that Trump put forward, and of course both sides are full of bluster here, but, like, even if they're remotely true, what Canada says we're asking for, are fucking psychotic and idiotic. We want, like, complete say over their other trade deals, and we want right of first refusal over all their mineral exports. So even if we offer the lower price, they have to sell us, like, their fucking lithium and shit.
That's like, what was it, the Treaty of Versailles or whatever?
Yeah.
How we smacked Germany down after World War I type stuff?
That's exactly what I read an economist saying that describing this. Like, these are the terms you ask for from an enemy after defeating them in a world war.
Right.
Right. And this is how we treat our fucking closest ally now?
Right.
And that's where every country in their right mind wants out of the relationship with us right now. And, like, but Trump will be long dead. We will not have a single friend on the planet except for fucking Israel. And most of America is done with them, so I guess we're all alone now. One of the things we asked for was for Canada to eliminate their French language rules? Which
I don't know what the rules are in Canada about French. Does it? We asked them to just get rid of French from their whole country because that's hilarious if we ask for that.
They have like labeling rules. So like they have right. French nutrition. Like people speak English, right? But it's like right. a point of national pride. Like they're more psychotic about French. I saw somebody trying to explain this. Like stop signs in French just say in actual France say stop. Right. Stop signs in Quebec have stop written in French.
Well, that's what I was about to say. It's just, isn't it just how Canada dumb I am? Isn't it just like Quebec, like that part of Canada? It's like French Canada. Everybody there is bilingual, French and English, and they print things. But what, you know.
I've only ever been to Ottawa, and a bunch of people spoke French. You'll be in a restaurant, and like half the people are speaking French. So I'm not, but that's, of course, the national capital. So maybe that's the poor reason. There are people from all over. But like, I don't know, man. But I saw like a Canadian try to explain how big of a no fucking way that is. It'd be like if their ask of us was in order to have a trade deal, we had to get rid of college football. See what I'm saying?
Right. Which, yeah, I would be like, why the fuck do you even care? But also, you know, fuck you, you know, my cold dead hands. But like, it's just so, I don't know. It's just such a, like, it just sounds like a joke because, like, I literally have a line in my act right now where I mention French and be like, you know, something about how, like, you're not allowed to speak it in America, whatever. Just like joking about how, you know, France is gay, but real patriots hate France, whatever. It just, it's like, it's something that you don't think anybody actually feels. But of course, there are people that do, you know, like just offended that another country is allowing French to be spoken or something on this continent is hilarious.
The only way I affected with, like, I was trying to come up with ways it would affect American companies. It's like if you're selling food goods to Canada, having to print packaging with an extra with the ingredients in French is some sort of huge cost to you when you can just run it through Google Translate and pass that on the box, right? I don't fucking know. Or like the most cynical version of it, because they mentioned like entertainment properties. So basically, they want to be able to sell our entertainment to Canadian streaming services without doing French dubs, I guess. But like,
people won't watch it, right? I mean, like, I don't, you would want the people to watch it that speak French or whatever, so it behooves you to provide a French dub if you're going to sell to that market, you know? Yeah. So, like, I don't know.
Also, how expensive, like, you make a TV show, but like basically they would not have been able to sell us Heated Rivalry. This is like Heated Rivalry anger, basically. They're mad about the gay hockey show.
Yeah.
So, but I want to like report it. This U.S., the guy who negotiated this deal before Howard Lucknick swooped in and fucking ruined it, he's a U.S. trade representative by the name of Jameson Greer, and he had to give this quote where he said, there's no possible way it can really affect U.S. well-being. What are you going to do, stab me? From guy getting stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, again, the American auto industry is absolutely fucked once again. I was trying to think of, like, I was looking up, like, the products we're most dependent upon Canada. We get, like, 20% of our oil imports from Canada, so that's going to be a problem, a pain in the ass. But we get, like 99% of our canola oil from Canada. So they could pretty much, like, put the American restaurant business underwater immediately if they just stopped shipping us canola oil. But I didn't even know that canola is Canadian oil. I didn't know that. Do you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that's why it's called that. I did know that that's not the real name of it.
Yes.
I do know that's like an internet fun fact. But I did not know that the reason it's canola is Canada and oil. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's a nice fun fact. But yes, I know what
the real
it's
name. You can tell the people the real name if you want.
Apparently, I don't know what botanist came up with this name for this plant or seed or whatever. But it's apparently rapeseed oil.
Yes.
Which, what grows from a rape seed? You know what I mean? Like a rape tree or what? Like, I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I don't fucking know. But anyway, it's a good change, right? Better name, canola. I hear all this, like, about 1.5 to 2 million Americans get their electricity from Canada. We're talking about, like, Buffalo, New York and upstate New York. And Doug Ford is threatening to cut off electricity, and which would put our most vital data centers out of business. But I honestly, I'm like, fucking do it. Like, I don't know. The people in this country, like, we are not affected by this dumb shit we're doing to everyone else.
Right.
And at some point, it has to redound. Like, we have to take responsibility for our own actions here. Mm-hmm. So part of, I'm not actually hoping that they do it, because people will die. Like, right. I'm sure if they did it, they wait till, like, it's not the fucking hot summer months. So, I mean, you know, maybe hospitals have backup generators, shut down for a couple hours, and it's no harm, no foul. But, like, if they're going to do it, I just want to point out that the Buffalo Bills host the Detroit Lions on Thursday Night Football, September 17th. That'd be a fun 4 hours to cut off the power in Buffalo. All this, I'm not sure how much this factors into Trump's thinking, but, like, there's a bridge dispute in the middle of all this. Are you familiar with the going-on about the Gordie Howe Bridge, Trey?
No.
So, Canada partnered with Michigan to build a second bridge over, was it Lake Michigan? I guess into Canada, right? So, there's already one bridge there. It was called the Ambassador Bridge. It's a private bridge owned by a billionaire by the name of Matthew Moron. I don't know how to say his last name. Moroun. Who's a Trump donor, who collects
sounds
tolls
like a real maroon to me, Mark.
Yeah,
quite a bunny.
Yeah, it's a toll road, right? So a second bridge. They built the second bridge because he charges too much money for the first one. So he's mad about the construction of the second bridge to let extra traffic get through. So he lobbied Trump to try to stop this bridge from opening, which Trump's filed lawsuits and successfully kept this bridge closed for an extra 6 months. But it finally opened on July 27th, and you'd expect the Secretary of Transportation and Commerce to be there for the ribbon cutting. The minute the White House fucking boycotted it, nobody in the administration showed up. It was just Michigan state officials and Mark Carney, the Canadian Prime Minister. So they're just throwing a tantrum over the fact that Michiganders and Canadians aren't being fucked by having to sit in traffic and pay a $20 toll.
Yeah, that's the bridge between Windsor and Detroit. How does some dude just fucking own that in the first place? You know what I'm saying? That's crazy to me. especially if that's the only bridge there. You know what I mean? If a municipality puts a toll on it and puts it into their city funds or whatever, that's obviously completely different. But, just some guy owns that? That's nuts.
And in Canada, because there's a government that actually cares about their fucking people, try to figure out a way around us. People don't have to spend half their life sitting in traffic going back. People commute to work across the board. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can see it. I've been in downtown Detroit or whatever. I'm saying they're not that far up. You know, you can see Windsor from Detroit. It's just right across the water, whatever.
But our American government went to court for a billionaire's right to fuck people. And is mad about the governments of Michigan figuring a way around it, and they're just throwing a fit about it. So we have to fucking everyone has to stop speaking French in Quebec as revenge or something. And then fucking JD, man, can't find a situation where he can't make shit work with his stupid fucking puffy face. Here he is giving a speech yesterday where he starts off talking about China and Canada are our two biggest enemies, and then goes on to say this.
We have to remember Canada is a state. Sorry, Freudian slip. That was actually an accident.
No, it's not.
Canada is a country that has underinvested in its military that quite literally would get invaded by a foreign country were it not for the umbrella of protection.
Okay. So we have joint air defenses with Canada. We always have. Canada's a population of 41 million people, which is about Texas. I'm not sure how much we expect them to contribute to our national defense, but just existing on our northern border as a buffer with Russia is a huge fucking boon to us. And having a friendly ally at our northern border. And 165 Canadians died in Afghanistan fighting alongside American troops. Mm-hmm. For J.D. Vance to fucking say that, the worst thing Canada ever did to us was fucking Nickelback, and they still made some good butt rock anthems. So
I'm a Nickelback apologist, Mark. You know that about me. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with any real Canadian export that I can think of right now. Yeah, I know this is I feel like I haven't heard it in a long time, but I feel like when I was younger it was a running joke about Canada's military sucking or something. And I remember I saw Jay Moore once on somewhere. It said that somebody asked him about a heckler situation he remembered, and he said he got heckled by guys that ended up being from Canada. He had been talking about World War II or something. He was like, yeah, thanks for all your help during World War II. Thanks for all the sandwiches, right? And the dude came up to him after the show and was like, you know, you need to fucking educate yourself or whatever. And so he said he went and did research and found out that, Canada went hard in World War II. Mm-hmm. And contributed greatly to it or whatever, and said that that's like the worst he's ever felt about a interaction he's had with, you know, that basically he got put in his place and realized that Canada's actually pretty badass, and a lot of Americans don't know that, militarily speaking. So I learned that from Jay Moore like 10 years ago, Mark, but a lot of people still don't know, I guess. They just think of Canada, they know the French part. That's the other thing. The French, you know, that's an overblown stereotype too for them. And Canada's France adjacent, so, you know.
It's because, like, the you know, the World War II stuff for the Vichy government, but a lot of French people kept fighting the French resistance, right. One of the military history podcasts I listened to said, like, was talking about the myth of French incompetence in war. And basically, they spent a lot of time talking about Italian fuck ups because Italy is who we think France is, but no one ever talks about them that way. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's take a break before we get to the rest of the show.
All right, we'll be right back. Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics. Football season just around the corner. Whew, cannot wait. That means Saturday nights with the wife and the friends, you know, Sunday mornings with the kids, both of which are non-negotiable. You know, ZBiotics pre-alcohol is a small thing I've added to my life that made the whole weekend easier to manage. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to break down acetaldehyde, a byproduct of drinking alcohol. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that is designed to break down this byproduct. You make ZBiotics pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, then you drink responsibly, and you can still enjoy your next day activities. ZBiotics has sold more than 14 million bottles and earned the trust of thousands, including us here at the Skews. You know, I was a little skeptical at first, but I actually tried it. You know what? It works. Got my Sundays back. How lovely is that? Right in time for football season. So try it for yourself today. If you're unsatisfied, they'll refund your entire order, no questions asked. So there's no risk to you. So go to zbiotics.com/skew and use the promo code skew for 15% off your first order. One more time, that's zbiotics.com/skew and use the promo code SKEW skew for 15% off. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. 250 years into this grand American experiment, it's time for us to decide what kind of country we want to be. The Founding Fathers got some things wrong, you know, but one thing they got right was knowing that church and state should be separate. That's foundational, y'all. We got Christian nationalists out here trying to destroy that history and take this country down a scary path indeed. They've been misusing government power to impose their own beliefs, rewrite our history, and decide who gets to belong in the United States of America. But Americans United is fighting back every single day. AU has sued the Trump administration 7 times in the last year alone and 12 times since his second administration began. They've challenged government officials who use taxpayer resources to promote their religious beliefs. They're exposing abuses of power, defending public schools and holding the government accountable when it violates the Constitution. Well, that type of thing doesn't happen on its own. It happens because people like you decide to be part of the fight. Visit au.org/crooked to learn more and join the fight today. That's au.org/crooked. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've been talking about BetterHelp on this show for a while now, but I don't know we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service once they use it. You can check it out for yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews. The reviews get updated every day, hundreds of people saying how helpful it's been for them. I'm not going to read them to you. You can go and look for yourself, and you'll see. You don't have to believe me. You can find out on your own and see that it's true. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars, and that's based over 1.7 million client session reviews, so it's a pretty good sample size. More than 6 million people have used BetterHelp globally. The feedback from people who have used the service speaks for itself. At BetterHelp, their therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience, plus all the required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialties. Just answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your actual needs, and you can switch therapists at any time if you decide it's not the right fit. No risk whatsoever. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit betterhelp.com/skews. That's BetterHelp.com/skews. BetterHelp.com/skews. BetterHelp. Help yourself.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
This is Becca and Tanya from Scrubbing In with Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad.
Becca,
Can I ask you a question? How do I convince myself I need something before I buy it?
Oh, so we're doing that today.
Well, I'll be shopping online and suddenly I'm like, well, technically this counts as self-care.
You're definitely not alone there.
That's why Klarna stands out. It's about smarter tools that help you feel more confident with your money.
Klarna brings payments, cash back, and money management together in one place with flexible ways to pay. It helps you make smarter money moves without the stress.
That's the goal, right? Having tools that make your money work with you.
Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
All right. So unfortunately, we have to talk about data centers again because our entire political system is seemingly perplexed. They've been caught off guard by the backlash against data centers, which I remember you and I doing a show about a year ago talking about the organically that seems to be pissing people off, and no politician seems to be taking the people's side in any of this shit. And why won't anybody do it? And then they're fucking surprised that people are mad at them. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I guess all these people only talk to each other or something.
Right.
So
they also think, I think that they think, oh, well, they'll just go with what we tell them. Type of thing, I think, is what a lot of them think. You know, they don't expect people to think for themselves or push back or whatever.
And I think, you know, like a lot of the conversations we're having, like culturally in our politics, like a dynamic here is like no one in our system is standing up to rapacious billionaire psychopaths, and no one trusts either party to do it. And I remember seeing an interview during, this was back during, we'll talk about Wisconsin a little bit, but during the Democratic gubernatorial primary. The New York Times on video interviewed a woman who was a 3-time Trump voter who said she was voting for Francesca Hong over data centers. And the Fox News, it was a Fox News reporter, not New York Times. It's like, but she's a socialist. And the woman laughs and goes, I'd vote for a fucking communist if they stood up to these data centers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with like the panic over people that call themselves socialists, like right now winning a few primaries, is like people don't want these people aren't actually, most of them aren't even advocating for socialism. We're advocating for a more responsible form of capitalism where billionaires don't get to do whatever the fuck they want to us.
Right.
What people want is a capitalism that isn't strangled to death by 6 autistic pedophiles.
Right, yeah.
And no one will do it, so the people are doing it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? And so, like, so they've been caught off guard with this backlash from AI companies, data center hyperscalers, and politicians. And they, like, I see them talking to each other, having these conversations where they're just like in a full blown panic because they don't know how to fucking manage this. And like, let me quote here from Axios: AI CEOs and Republicans share in the rising panic. They tell us internal polls show data centers are as popular as spent nuclear waste.
I mean, that honestly, though, that analogy totally makes sense to me. It's like a very similar form of kind of that sort of NIMBYism or whatever, right, from people. Mm-hmm. Which I know NIMBYism was always kind of treated as like a dirty word, but you know what I mean? It depends on the context of what people don't want in their backyard, I feel like. But it is kind of a similar thing. I was just talking to somebody about this, like, because, again, as we know, I used to work for the DOE. The spent nuclear waste thing, that shit came up a lot at my old job because I was in Oak Ridge and, you know, they just couldn't find anywhere to put it. Because who the fuck wants that around, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised that data centers have the same kind of PR, you know?
Right. Even when they sort of, like, because the federal government owns like 90% of Nevada, I remember there being a point where they were going to like put it, bury
Yucca
it in
Mountain is what that was called. It was the Yucca Mountain Project. They spent billions of dollars, like $1.5 billion digging that hole out there in Yucca Mountain to put it all, but then Harry Reid and some other, and it fell apart. All that, even when I worked there, that was still going on, but it finally fell apart.
Harry Reid, like it was pretty brilliant because he marshaled a bunch of allies. He was the former Senate Majority Leader from Nevada by making the point, well, if they bring it to Yucca Mountain, they're going to have to drive it through your state. Do you want them driving it through your state? And got a bunch of, like, So hanging over all this is a pretty hilarious joke that the tech guys went all in on. They played on themselves. They went all in on Trump in 2024 to making their whole industry partisan, basically, because they wanted to buy the federal government. because they never read a book or understood politics or people in America or the structure of the American government. And so basically what they discovered, it's tougher to bribe the residents of middle America than it is to buy the federal government. And they didn't see that coming. And that's fucking funny as shit to me. And this memo came out last week. Axios got a hold of it. The Republicans wrote a memo to the AI companies basically being like, hey, we're your last best hope to rape America. And it's like, let me read here. The Texas Senate, the Senate GOP arm, campaign arm, in a private memo to top AI companies, warns that toxic views of U.S. data centers are killing the party's chances of holding a vital seat in Ohio. In the memo, the National Republican Senate Senatorial Committee says Democrats have made data centers a, quote, centerpiece of their campaign to defeat Senator John Husted of Ohio, and it's working. A Fox News poll last week showed that Sherrod Brown leading Husted by 8 points in ruby red fucking Ohio after Brown's made data centers his, quote, de facto opponent. Now, a funny side plot in this is Sherrod Brown was the other senator from Ohio until 2 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
And he got turfed out by crypto money because he was for regulating crypto.
Mm-hmm.
Crypto being the last fake Silicon Valley product that was going to make us all rich. Remember that?
Yeah, right. We kind of have moved on from crypto to AI, it feels like. I mean, crypto's still a thing, obviously, right? But it's not, yeah, it's not the thing that hinges on.
It did make a few people rich. The Trump family, some sex traffickers, and the Winklevoss twins. But
I've never seen anyone that turns out they got rich from crypto who didn't just suck so hard. Mm-hmm. Anytime you see somebody that's like pops up on some stupid influencer podcast or something, trying to be some kind of grind set bullshit or whatever, or like an OnlyFans simp or whatever, it's just always some cretin who managed to fucking make it big in crypto and now is just living the worst life you can imagine.
I would guess that there are people who quietly got rich off of it and cashed out their winnings because of some luck. Yeah,
I'm sure that's true.
But the people who think that putting $1,000 in Bitcoin in 2012 makes them a genius and should be influencers because of it are basically Andrew Tate wannabes, and that's what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but the memo from the Republicans said if he loses, meaning Husted, data centers get the blame. Politicians across the country will take notice, and they will not go near the next one. The memo says this has become a sleeper issue for the entire election cycle. They're begging for the AI billionaires to put all their net worth into these races to save them from campaign wipeouts, in exchange for AI companies not being embarrassed at the polls as the signature bad guy, and. While this is happening in Ohio, the Republican governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, has had to like try to dial back some state tax breaks he gave AI companies because it turns out the tax breaks they gave these companies are not being paid back in huge tax windfalls they were supposed to generate for the state. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking shocked.
Surely not, right?
You and I are sports fans. So you and I, we're not shocked to see that some billionaire is taking a hold of something in your state, is blackmailing you for free tax money or threatening to go elsewhere. That's the whole dynamic at play, right?
Right.
So over the weekend, ABC News Sunday gave 40 minutes of free advertising to Greg Abbott to try to explain himself on data centers. And I just want to play the first little beginning of this to try to sum up the vibe if you got this clip. Right?
Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott once vowed to make his state the, quote, epicenter of the AI industry. Now he has put in place a moratorium on data center construction. That issue, along with inflation and anxiety about the Iran war, is among the factors that have Texas Republicans nervous about the mid.
It's kind of funny for me because, like, people hate data centers for a whole fuck ton of reasons. Some of them are somewhat based in reality. Some of them are absolutely made up, right? Mm-hmm. Which is funny to me. But, like, it is hilarious to me that we found the one time, like, we get to watch the GOP struggle with low-information voters.
Right. So what are the made-up conspiracy? Is it something about the Jews or something? Or whiteness or something?
There's 5G conspiracy theories them. There's, like every one of them is for Flock cameras or Palantir. That the water usage thing we talked about, the new ones have kind of like eliminated the water usage thing as a problem. The new ones have closed circuit like cooling systems.
Not to toot my own horn here because I'm a dumbass and it's like I know it's, but I remember we were talking about this weeks ago and I asked you, I was like, why can't it just be
like a closed. I don't get why there needs to be new water all the fucking time in this thing or whatever. So, you know, well, I'm going to somehow take credit for that, Mark. I revolutionized the data center industry.
Here's really where tech stuff should say confined to Silicon Valley, where they understand that they're all doing beta. You can't do beta testing with a town's fucking water supply and not expect them to hate your guts going forward or trust you. You just like, let's see how this works in thousands of small towns before you figured out the closed loop thing. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but talking about low information voters, the Washington Post wrote a profile. They found a crossover voter who's voting for Hinojosa, who's the woman who's running against Greg Abbott for governor of Texas on the Democratic platform. It's a crossover Hinojosa Ken Paxton voter. She's planning to split her ticket, specifically because of data centers. Her name's Twyla Lowry. She's never voted for a Democrat before, but, quote, Abbott's pushing for data centers. Everything's so shady. And I'm like, so did you not notice when I lived in Texas in the early 2000s that oil fracking wells were in everybody's yard, including school playgrounds? That wasn't shady to you? The Republicans also, ran the state.
Well, also being like, I just can't vote for somebody that shady, which is why I'm going to go with his opponent and also Ken Paxton.
Yes.
Famously not at all shady, Ken Paxton.
Man, one of Tyler Rico's ads he's running right now made me laugh. We talked about it back when he was getting impeached, but one of the most famous shitty things, because it's so, like, Ken Paxton stole a guy's Mont Blanc pen from a security, like a bin at a metal detector in a courthouse, and it was caught on video. And the whole ad is just showing Ken Paxton stealing this guy's $1,000 pen he got for a birthday present for his wife. And it's like, that's who Ken Paxton is. He steals the pen. Like Doug Ford, he's the kind of guy who would steal your shoes. But speaking of Ken Paxton, he had to come out against data centers, which is like just a lie, whatever. Let me quote here. My first data center plan will protect our grid, our communities, and our children while ensuring America beats communist China in the AI race. Texas first, always. Throw up the post where he announced his plan, Matt, if you got this picture. See the bottom left corner? He posted his plans. It's made by AI. He used AI to make his fake anti-AI plan. His plan, like, if you want to, like, take the temperature of, like, what they can play, they say, quote, author the first of its kind legislation prohibiting the usage of Chinese technology to power American data centers. Buddy, if you're going to try to build a data center without Chinese components, enjoy your empty warehouse. Authored legislation to protect children by holding data center companies criminally liable if the center empowers AI chatbots that undermines children's safety. That is a good idea. Ken Paxton will never support it in practice. Just do not trust him to do that. Anyway, Elon will be at the Supreme Court in 4 seconds having to smack that down if anyone did pass such a law, because he will not be held criminally liable for whatever his technology does. And you can believe Republicans will stand up to any form of big business if you want to be that kind of sucker. But I just want to point you to what the people who are building these data centers believe. Elon Musk has announced his plan to spend $200 million in the midterms to elect Republicans who were theoretically promising to rein him in.
Right.
You think?
Right.
Do you think he doesn't know what they're going to do, or that you're the one being fooled? I'm sure Elon's a sucker here and not you. He's going to spend a bunch of his money on Ken Paxton, by the way. And when I talk about, like, how no one, like, voters don't think anyone's going to rein these guys in anymore, Texas let Elon have his own city. He's his own government for SpaceX. I forget, like I think he calls it Star City, right? So he's basically like a little a feudal lord over this little town. Elon's second passion, besides Rob, behind space exploration, pretending to be a space warlord, is inseminating women who are much younger than him.
Yeah,
right. If Elon announced in his city that he owns that he was lowering the age of consent to 12 and mandating a prima nocta sort of thing where every woman had to carry at least one of his children to term, what would be the governmental response for it? Because Republicans would say, well, the Bible says this is good. And Democrats would maybe try to claw back some percentage of his tax incentives.
Right. Yeah.
So what are we left to do?
Right.
I want to talk about this plan about Democrats for a second. And Democrats trying to take the side of the data. Like, it's like, We talked about this with the trans rights stuff. Like, even if Democrats want to throw trans people under the bus, they're still going to be known as the party of individual minority civil rights, because that's the party's whole fucking brand.
Mm-hmm.
Just like no matter how many times Republicans crash the economy, they're known as the party of business, right? It's like baked into their identity. But they can't stop trying to like get on board. Like, we want to be corrupt money whores too. Give us money, right? So in Wisconsin, like, remember we talked about the Democratic primary where Francesca Hong lost to David Crowley a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
So Francesca Hong's big thing was stopping data centers. That was she came out of nowhere. She was pulling 1%, so she came with this anti-data center plan that almost won the nomination despite having no fucking party support. David Crowley won, barely beat her as the establishment, I'd say quote unquote establishment candidate, right? He was their preference over her. And if you asked him about data centers, ask me, I'll be David Crowley. Ask me my stance on data centers, Trey.
Mr. Crowley, what's your stance on data centers?
Heretofore with, up until now, previously my stance had been innovation, we must lean into it and get back to you later after my blue ribbon commission, you know, that kind of shit, right?
Yeah.
So, and here's how he was rewarded for his, let's call it, nuanced efforts to fucking please everyone. It's an ad from his opponent, Tom Tiffany, if you got this video, Matt.
Chief Data Center David Crowley.
There's an opportunity for us to really become AI and a data hub for not only for the entire country, but for the entire
You can cut it out. David's data center, David Crowley. And they, like, if you're picking between the two, both their platforms are roughly the same, except that David Crowley wants them to supply their own energy with renewables, and Tom Tiffany wants them to supply their own energy with coal,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but if you, like, Tom Tiffany pretending to be anti-data centers is hilarious because, let me list this here for you. He's currently in Congress. He voted for tax cuts that benefit big tech that were paid for by cuts to Medicaid and food stamps. He voted for permitting reforms that made data centers easier to build without any sort of regulations. And he voted on a ban on state and local AI regulations. I would still vote for David Crowley 99, like 1,000 times out of 100, just because Tom Tiffany is a fucking election denier. I want my vote to count. But it's just funny how these people pose. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they have to get caught behind the eight ball, pretending to like know what they're talking about and take positions that are counter to their own voters and have to play catch up later, right? I want to quote here another Axios report about Democrats trying to ride the fence here. We asked nearly 20 Democrats who were seen as potential presidential contenders whether they support Bernie Sanders' call for, quote, AI CEOs to stop building machines that humans cannot control. None of them embraced Sanders' proposal, but they wouldn't criticize it.
That is the most Democratic sentence I've heard in a Democrat is in the party.
Yes.
The Democratic Party, that kind of sums them up. That they would, none of them embraced it, but they would not criticize it either. It's like, we would like to just do nothing if possible and still have people like us. If we could not have any kind of stance or position and still just win, that would be great. Actually, we don't even really care that much about the winning either, now that you mentioned it. But
I want to point out here that, like, stop building machines that humans cannot control is the bare minimum regulation.
Right.
They're like, should this Terminator have an off switch? Is apparently a controversial fucking opinion.
Right. Yeah, it's literally like, do you think it's a good idea if we keep developing Skynet? You know Skynet, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to make Skynet right now. Do you think we should do that? And they're all like, I don't know. I'm on the fence about Skynet.
They're not even asking, should you stop the construction of Skynet? They're offering, well, if they construct Skynet, do you want to be able to reboot it? They're like, I don't know, it's too far.
Right.
It's too fucking far.
That might make it mad, you see. We got to make sure it's got the freedom to do what it needs to do without our control, or else it might get upset with us.
But it's like, it's weird to me, the I talked about the bribing the federal government. Like, no normal person would trust these people within a mile of anything they care about. They're fucking lying psychopaths. And they, like, when they get caught in a lie, their reflex is to pretend to be stupid. Here's an interview that Sam Altman gave over the weekend. I'll play a couple clips from it if you got this first one, Matt. Sam Altman admits he was a little too ambitious on the AI adoption timeline he expected from the American public.
I think I was wrong about a few things, but one of them, in terms of the speed... One of them is the economy just has so much inertia. People keep doing the same things they're doing. They keep buying from the same, company. They keep sort of wanting to use their tools in the same way.
Pause it, Matt. So the man who's claiming to have just figured out that Americans have consumer habits and inertia and brand loyalty and do things the way they've normally been doing it is giving this interview while wearing a clearly visible logo of Adidas sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a business genius. he wants to use your town to build a data center, right? Because he obviously understands the economy and business very, very well, right? You should trust him because that data center will be there generating revenue for generations, right? Mm-hmm. Just trust him.
Right.
So
I mean, yeah, it's like the most fundamental truth there is about people in general or consumers, I feel like, is that they're, you know, mm-hmm. can be stubborn. People like, comfort. They like the things that they like. You can't just expect to just change everything about how everything works overnight, which seems mm-hmm. to be what some of these guys want to do.
Mm-hmm. And if you got this second clip, Matt, this is like where, like, I just got to play this for you because if you pay attention to what he's saying, like, really he should question his own existence if you got this next clip of Sam Wall.
Go Codex, right? I don't even know the fucking product lines. Like, where's all the revenue coming from?
Actually, I think we should be more of a platform company than a product company. Okay. Like, we will build.
All right. He just spitballed changing the entire business model of his $1 trillion fucking company.
Right. What does that mean?
It means we've tried to develop these services we offered people, but no one's using them. So we'll let you figure out what to do with our product.
Right.
So we're going to let us build a factory in your town. What does it do? You fucking tell us.
Right.
Like, why should anyone... Like, if you let these people put one of these things in your town, it might very well be successful. Maybe. I don't know. But they don't know either. And it might just be empty husks sitting there after this whole thing fucking falls apart. And let me quote here. This is from a news story today, Tuesday, August 25th. According to the Wall Street Journal, Anthropic will tell investors that its potential revenue is above $30 trillion. The third place AI company right. is telling its investors that they're going to take in more revenue, the amount of revenue they take
than
in
yearly, money has existed in the world. Or what?
Larger than the GDP of the United States of America.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm smarter than Wall Street, but that is a fucking lie.
I know. Well, that's one of the biggest things I've, like, I guess, learned about the markets and finance and angel investors and all that shit over the past few years is just that, like, oh, you can just say stuff and that can work if people choose to believe it or want to believe it. Like, I guess I always thought there were some actual, like, consequences or results, you know what I mean, or outcomes that impacted the way things either succeeded or failed or whatever. But in recent, especially with Elon and his net worth and all this stuff, and it just seems like mm-hmm. if enough people just agree to believe that it's true or whatever, you can just, you know, you can be a tycoon for nothing, apparently.
Barely. And, like, going back to, like, how regular people see these people versus, like I think... To go back to Jeffrey Epstein for a minute, the real galling thing that, like, when you look through his emails, how many people were just purely chummy with him, even after knowing what he was? And you would think lesser of your buddy if he was in there. But they apparently don't think lesser of each other at all. The CEO of Anthropic, the guy we just talked about, who's promising the $30 trillion in revenue, people are still finding new stuff in Epstein's emails, depending on who you search, right? So someone searched his wife's name. She was in Jeffrey Epstein's emails after he was convicted of having sex with, underage women, which he pled down to very publicly from having sex with a bunch of underage women and trafficking them. She was soft pitching him to invest in her internet porn company. I'm trying to describe, like, a bigger piece of shit behavior than trying to ask a convicted sex trafficker of underage women to invest in your porn company.
Right.
And these are the people asking us
to please. Well, on the other hand, you know he's down for it, you know. You know he doesn't have any scruples or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, I mean, you're right, obviously.
And these are the people, like, begging for access to your town. Just let us put a fucking facility in your town. Trust us. We'll pay you back, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, this is, like, funny. This is kind of the funny part of the problem is that the tech titans' problem is themselves. They can't fire themselves, or they won't let you fire themselves, and no one trusts them. They're pulling data, like... Let me quote here. Young people hate AI CEOs so passionately that it's almost hard to believe. Talking about 80% hate Peter Thiel, 71%, 70%, and 69%, so they don't trust Zuckerberg, Musk, and Sam Altman, respectively. And I got to ask, I was honestly, I thought this question was a joke, but then I honestly thought about it. Who would you rather have dinner with, Elon Musk or O.J. Simpson?
Bro, it's O.J. by a mile. I don't even have to think about it.
By fucking mile!
O.J. Simpson's murdered and didn't hit for me, but... Like I've said before, there were times when OJ got on Twitter and stuff and he'd get on there and give his fantasy football takes and shit. There were times where I'd be like, oh, wow. I was just thinking to myself, yeah, you got that right, OJ. Or, wow, you're really spitting right now, OJ. Like OJ Simpson was like a charismatic personal murderer, which is not great. But like Elon is like, I don't know how people stand to be in his fucking presence for more than 15 minutes. He's one of those cringeworthy people alive, dude. And also, obviously, way more dangerous, you know, to more people.
Elon's killed way more people than OJ.
Way more people, right, yeah. Not cool to kill any, but yeah, it's really not a comparison, in my opinion.
And it's like, it also, going off this about off-putting they are, their PR efforts to try to give people over to let them establish all these data centers is by telling everyone that they're illiterate fucking morons.
Right, you just don't understand. You don't understand how awesome it is. Yeah,
and part of the reason they went all in on destroying America, and like you can just read Peter Thiel's writings, he doesn't believe in democracy precisely because people stand in his way of doing what he wants to dominate us. Is like they have contempt for everyone, and people can sense that, right? Anyway, you know what will really help their cause is a bunch of people can't look anyone in the eye when they talk to him. While big tech tries to figure out a better sales pitch, I just want to point out a central truth here that's getting lost in all this while people implore us, like implore us with how urgent all this is. These are private companies, and it's not our responsibility to make sure they're profitable.
Right.
How is this get like what's Nike's stock price at today? What'd you do to help it, Trey?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to the only person like Ron DeSantis has been like term limited out until he can run for president in a couple of years. So he's like, I don't know if he's speaking honestly or zigging where other people are zagging, but like he's like been vocally anti-AI and anti-data center from the beginning. And Ron DeSantis does not hit for me, but he is right about this one thing, or pretending to be. He was asked, he posted a thing on Twitter about being opposed to rapid construction of more AI data centers. And somebody responded, do you care if China beats us? And he said, I'm not sure about what you mean by us, as the interests of Silicon Valley corporations are not the same as American national interest. Is big tech seeking to beat the CCP, or is big tech seeking to do business and make massive money with the CCP?
Mm-hmm.
Right? By the way, a NVIDIA chip was found in a Russian drone that killed three Ukrainians the other day. Does NVIDIA want to answer how the fuck that happened?
Right.
So, anyway, I feel like a lot of what's getting lost in all this is people hate these companies' business models. And like that's hard to pull because the companies all do very different things. But people don't like the chatbots that tell kids to kill themselves, the algorithmic pricing that robs you. And I really do think that a lot of the anger about this is about just anger at tech in general, because does the modern world feel more pleasant to live in?
Right. No. Yeah, there's this sense, I talked about it on here recently, but it's like there was a time in my life, I feel like throughout the aughts and everything, and you know, MP3 players and iPod and iPhone and all that shit, and GPS and smartphone, where it was like a lot of the innovations and stuff really were like cool and also made people's lives like easier or cooler or better or whatever. They were actual improvements and everything. Uh-huh. And I can't remember the last time something like that happened. Like now it seems like every new modern day equivalent of one of those new technological advancements, new thing comes out, it's like dystopian and upsetting, or it's just bullshit that doesn't fucking work. And so it's like people aren't seeing any benefit from it, and the people at the top are off-putting and on top of it, so, and just life sucks in general for so many people for so many other reasons, politically and otherwise, but you know, healthcare and the economy and all that, that it's like, you know, why should these people buy into this bullshit? You're giving them literally no reason to, other than you're too stupid to understand why it's good, so why don't you just not worry about it and let us deal with it? That's like the best pitch that they have.
And Matt wrote a good blog I wanted to go through. It's on ruralorganizing.org, I believe, is his website. But he talked about how like small towns continually get fucked by these overpromises and these sort of like like development, like my hometown got fucked by a Foxconn plant. Matt makes the point that like his hometown, his dad's hometown, and his mom's hometown all got fucked by biomass ethanol startups that fell apart before they actually got into business. Rural small towns all across the country have the same horror stories. And
yeah, this my hometown's Oshkosh Bagosh plant, which I think is one of the more whimsical ones.
Right.
Yeah.
And because like small towns are desperate for economic development, and it's like these hucksters go. There's a reason they're trying to put these in small towns. Besides the fact they have land to put it on. But I wanted to like the funniest take on all this stuff. I wanted to get to this before we get out of here. Was back in 2023. This AI doomer, by that I mean, this guy named Scott Alexander. But he's the kind of guy who thinks that AI is going to be super powerful. But it's bad because it will kill us all, which means so I disagree with him. But he's at least against AI, so I find myself on the same side of him. But he was talking about how like we do have the power to stop this, and it was this type of dynamic, the localized resistance at city council meetings, that he described as his last best hope for mankind. And I want to read that. Actually, you read this, Trey, if you got it.
Okay. This is, of course, nonsense. We designed our society for excellence at strangling innovation. Now we've encountered a problem that can only be solved by a plucky coalition of obstructionist, overactive regulators, anti-tech zealots, socialists, and people who hate everything new on general principle. It's like one of those movies where Shaq stumbles into a situation where you can only save the world by playing basketball.
Proud to be an American!
Love that.
Yeah. So anyway, that got a hit for me. So.
Yeah. Well, that's a great note to go out on. Listen, go check out my tour dates at treycrowder.com. I'll be in the Midwest soon, Omaha, Kansas City, and Des Moines, and then upstate New York, Hartford, Connecticut, a bunch of other places in the near future, Austin, Eugene, Oregon, Knoxville before long. All at treycrowder.com. Check out producer Matt's audio exclusive, good skews, good people doing good things. If you want a palate cleanser, and as for this show, if you go to Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or go to Patreon and search for my name. $5 a month gets you access to the ad-free versions of all the main episodes, plus two full-length bonus episodes per month, some of which are Q&As, which we just did our first live Q&A recently, so you got that to look forward to. But either way, if you keep watching these, we'll keep making them. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time. That's it for now. Love you. Bye.
Skew.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
A burst pipe, a dead water heater, the AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs, with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price, void in Florida.